Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, fourth chapter, text 31. Nodhavo anu api man yuno yad gunair narditaha prabhu ato mad vayunam lokam grahayan iha tishtatu. Nodavan vapiman yuno. Nodavan vapiman yuno. Yadgunar naditaha prabhu. Yadgunar naditaha prabhu. Atomad vayunam lokam. Atomad vayunam lokam. Grahayan ihatishtatu. Grahayan ihatishtatu. Nodhavon vapiman yuno. Yadgunar nadita prabhu. Ato madvayunam lokam. Grahayan ihatishtatu. Vaishnavis. Bhaktas. Na, not. Udavaha.
Udava.
Anu, slightly. Api, also. Mat, to myself. Yunaha, inferior. Yat, because. Gunai, by the modes of material nature. Na, nor. Arditaha, affected. Prabhu, master. Ataha, therefore. Matvayunam, knowledge of me, the personality of Godhead. Lokam, the world. Grahayan, just to disseminate. Iha, in this world. Tishtatu, may remain. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Uddhava, this is Krishna speaking. Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world in order to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Purport. The specific qualification for becoming the representative of the Lord is to be unaffected by the material modes of nature. The highest qualification of a person in the material world is to become a brahmana. But since a brahmana is in the mode of goodness, to be a brahmana is not sufficient for becoming a representative of the Lord. One has to transcend the mode of goodness also and be situated in unalloyed goodness, unaffected by any of the qualities of material nature. This stage of transcendental qualification is called Shuddha Sattva or Vasudeva. And in this stage, the science of God can be realized. As the Lord is not affected by the modes of material nature, so a pure devotee of the Lord is also not affected by the modes of nature. That is the primary qualification for being one with the Lord. A person who is able to attain this transcendental qualification is called Jivan Mukta, or liberated, even though he is apparently in material conditions. This liberation is achieved by one who constantly engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated, Iha yasya hareer dasye karmana manasa gira nikalashvapi avashtasu jivan mukta suuchate. Quote, anyone who, by his actions, mind, and words, lives only for the transcendental loving service of the Lord is certainly a liberated soul, even though he may appear to be in a condition of material existence. Uddhava was in such a transcendental position, and thus he was selected to be the factual representative of the Lord in his... Let me read that again. Uddhava was in such a transcendental position, and thus he was selected to be the factual representative of the Lord in his bodily absence from the vision of the world. Such a devotee of the Lord is never affected by material strength, intelligence, or even renunciation. Such a devotee of the Lord can withstand all onslaughts of material nature, and therefore he is known as Goswami. Only such Goswamis can penetrate the mysteries of the Lord's transcendental loving relationships. Om gana tamiram dasha jananjana jananjana shalakaya chakshud unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadam ayam didati swaparantikam. So, Lord, as I mentioned, Lord Krishna is speaking here. Yeah. Oh. Okay. All right, good. Okay, thank you. That's a good clarification. So, Lord Krishna is thinking like this. He's not saying this to anybody, but he's thinking like this. So he's thinking, Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way. So it sounds like to me that Krishna likes Uddhava. Okay? That's pretty clear. So why? Now this should be of interest to us because we want Krishna to like us. So why is it that Krishna likes Uddhava? Probably a lot of reasons, but the one he's mentioning here, is that he likes Uddhava because he's never affected by the modes of material nature. So we should also strive to be, if we want to be liked by Krishna, like Krishna likes Uddhava, to not be affected by the modes of material nature. So before we could achieve that, not being affected by the modes of material nature, might be a good idea to understand a little bit about what they are. What are the modes of material nature? Okay. Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, the place I found in the Bhagavad Gita where it gives the best insight into what are the modes of material nature was chapter 7, text 14. Well, Krishna gives a very fundamental insight into what are the modes of material nature, where he says, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature. So it's a divine energy of Krishna. That's a direct statement. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature. So we can understand from that these three modes of material nature are a divine energy of Krishna. And if we look at the Sanskrit, the three modes are referred to as gunamayi. And Krishna says, mama maya, it's his energy. So, what is this maya? What is this divine energy? Some insight into that is given in the back of the Bhagavad Gita. There's a glossary, and the word maya, definition for the word maya, which I think will help us understand something more about these three modes of material nature. They are an energy of the Supreme Lord that deludes the living entities into forgetfulness of their spiritual nature and of God and of Krishna. So that's how the modes act. You know, they're a divine energy of Krishna that tend to act in that way. So Uddhava was free from that. He was free from the influence of that energy. Right? He was always properly situated in his eternal constitutional position as servant of Krishna. He was always, you know, desiring to serve Krishna. He never was forgetful of his spiritual identity or of Krishna's position. So how do we become free from these modes of material nature? Well, Krishna explains in that same verse in the Bhagavad Gita, he goes on to say, before he gives us the solution on how to become free from them, he does admit, he says, mama maya durachaya, they're very difficult to overcome. It's not easy to become free from the modes of material nature. But then he goes on in the next breath, so to speak, and says, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So that's how we become free from being influenced by this deluding energy, which causes us to forget our spiritual identity and our relationship with Krishna, by surrendering to Krishna. So, okay, what's that? How do we surrender to Krishna? Well, in the purport, Prabhupada mentions, says, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. So, surrendering to Krishna and surrendering to the spiritual master, same thing. Actually, the recommended process is we learn about how to surrender to Krishna from the spiritual master. So the way to surrender to Krishna is to surrender to the spiritual master. If we surrender to the spiritual master properly, then that's surrendering to Krishna, and then we're going to be released from these three modes of material nature. So some insight into how to surrender to the spiritual master is given in the purport to that very famous verse in the fourth chapter where Krishna says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada says, one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant. That's one clue right there. Without false prestige. It says, inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. And goes on to say, one must pass the test of the spiritual master. When he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, so that's an important phrase right there. The spiritual master has to see the genuine desire of the disciple. See, so in other words, we have to engage in devotional service in such a way that we attract the attention of the bona fide spiritual master. He has to feel like, yeah, we're really sincerely trying to surrender and engage in devotional service. And when he sees that, then he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. Okay? So that's how it works. That's how it works. That genuine blessing of the spiritual master, of spiritual understanding, that will enable you to become free from the modes of material nature and be like Uddhava, unaffected by the modes of material nature. It goes on to say a little further on in the purport, Prabhupada says, a bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So, we have to try to behave in such a way that we attract the attention of the spiritual master, that we invoke that feeling of kindness towards us. We want the spiritual master to feel kindly towards us, and then he'll bless us with his genuine spiritual understanding, and then we'll be like Uddhava. We'll be unaffected by the modes of material nature. And that's, that's important. It's important for ourselves individually, for our own spiritual advancement. And also in this purport, it's talked about the qualifications for being a representative. Right in the very first sentence, it talks about how the specific qualification for becoming the representative of the Lord is to be unaffected by the modes of material nature. So, it's essential for us, for our own spiritual progress, but also in order to be an effective representative or preacher of Krishna consciousness, we have to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature. That's what's stated here. And one reason for that came to my mind is that, the basic statement that we're making, Krishna consciousness movement is making, is that Krishna consciousness is the understanding of life that you get from Krishna consciousness, and the way of life, it's superior to material life. Okay? In other words, out there, people are living according to a certain understanding of life. And they have a certain way of life, and they've achieved, one could say, a lot of things. They have wonderful houses, and with electricity, and hot and cold running water, and etc. And cars, and boats, and planes, and computers, and internet, and cell phones, and you name it. So, pretty impressive, right, on one level. And we're coming along and saying, and they live a certain way. They function and go about their activities in a certain way. But we're coming along and saying that, okay, nice, very good. What we're presenting is superior. this, the understanding of life that we're presenting, or just being presented in these books, and the way we live is superior to that, far superior to that. So the point is that if we're not, we have to be, to the degree that we're not free from the modes of material nature, right, we're not going to be able to be convinced about that, and we're not going to be able to be convincing about that. As we have to become free from the modes of material nature in order to be potent preachers. And when we achieve that, then becoming free from the modes of material nature, we're going to be experiencing that. We're going to be experiencing that Krishna consciousness is superior to material life. And there's a nice verse, I think it's in the 14th chapter. Krishna says, Mam chayovi abhichadena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatichaitan brahma buyaya kalpate, that when one engages in full devotional service and doesn't fall down in any circumstance, he at once transcends the three modes of material nature and becomes situated on the platform of Brahman. You're on the spiritual platform. You're experiencing life in a different way. And then when you interact with people who aren't devotees, and you're telling them that, hey, this is superior, they pick up on that. You know, that's part of the whole package. So that's important. So this becoming free of the modes of material nature, it's important for two reasons. One, it's the reason why Krishna stated here that why he was so liked Uddhava so much. He was never affected by the modes of material nature. And Prabhupada, in his purport, he talks about how it's really what you have to be in order to be a proper representative of Krishna, which is what also something that we want to do. Two things. We want to be liked by Krishna, and we want to be proper representatives, be able to represent Krishna here in this material world. So it's something we have to try to do. Prabhupada points out in the purport here that just coming to the mode of goodness, that's not good enough. It's definitely better than being influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. It's like a springboard, or like a diving board is an example of a springboard. You can kind of jump off it. You can use a diving board to, you know, jump off and, you know, do different types of dives and or gymnastic sort of movements like that. But it's not an end in itself. We have to go beyond the mode of goodness. Prabhupada points that out in the purport. Well, one last point that I'd like to touch upon is he mentions here, he says, talking about a factual representative of the Lord, he says, such a devotee of the Lord is never affected by material strength, intelligence, or even renunciation. In other words, such a devotee of the Lord can withstand all onslaughts of material nature, and therefore he is known as a Goswami. Only such Goswamis can penetrate the mysteries of the Lord's transcendental loving relationships. So the devotee has a different vision, you know, a vision or understanding of life, and he's not affected. Let's take one at a time. He's never affected by material strength. So he's not affected by his own lack of material strength, right? He doesn't become, like ordinarily a person, ordinary material consciousness, if they lack material strength, they might feel kind of like, you know, fearful or not very confident or something. It's not a positive psychological effect. But so a devotee doesn't you know, affect him, whether he's got material strength or not, or he's not intimidated by somebody else having material strength and him not. Same thing, intelligence. He's not intimidated if somebody is very, very, you know, brilliant or something. And no, he's convinced. He's got conviction. He's on the spiritual platform, and he's just taking shelter of the understanding, the philosophy that I'm a spirit soul. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. I just have to be engaged in devotional service. And really, I don't have to worry about anything else. Everything else Krishna's going to take care of. So that's sort of a conviction. And there's that verse in the Nectar of Instruction, very first verse, I think it is, Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pashta Vegam, Etan Vegam Yova Shahita Dira Sarvam Apimam Pativim Sasashat. That it talks about basically what that verse is saying is that a devotee who you know, takes shelter in this philosophy and puts it into practice and in the form of tolerating the urges of the tongue, the belly, the genitals, the mind, the words, anger. You know, he's not affected by material strength, intelligence, and different, you know, examples of the same thing. Then what happens is sarvam apimam prativim sasishat. That devotee becomes, the Prabhupada translated, qualified to make disciples all over the world. He becomes empowered. Words, by this application, by this acceptance of the philosophy and applying it practically in your life, then you become transcendental to the three modes of material nature, and you become sarvam apimam prativim sishishat. You become qualified, you become empowered to make disciples all over the world, or you become empowered to give Krishna consciousness to other people. There's three types of gurus, actually. One is your Diksha guru. Another is that's the person who actually gives you the formal initiation. There's a Shiksha guru, that's an instructing spiritual master. And there's another type called a Vartma Padarshana guru, which means somebody who introduces you to the path of devotional service. So all three are very important. I mean, it's not just that the Diksha guru is important. Certainly the Diksha guru is important. But somebody who instructs you in devotional service, that's very important. And somebody who's empowered, wouldn't you like to be empowered to introduce people to Krishna consciousness? Yeah, we would. That's a very important part of our movement. See, so this is how we do it. By following that instruction of Rupa Goswami, that first instruction in the Upadeshamrita, then we become empowered to give people Krishna consciousness. So that's my thoughts on this verse. It's something that is very beneficial to become free from the modes of material nature. It's something that's very beneficial for us, and it'll be very helpful in helping us be very effective preachers as well. So we should really strive to do that, you know, come to the same situation, position as Uddhava, that where Krishna was, you know, liking him for that reason. We want Krishna to like us also for that reason, because we've sincerely taken up the process, engaged in devotional service, that we're free from the modes of material nature. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question? Okay. No, Sukadev Goswami speaking, and he's relating to us what Krishna is thinking, right? Yeah, Sukadev Goswami is speaking, but he's relating to us what Krishna is thinking, and he made the comment how he knows that, but he knows. Sukadev Goswami knows a lot of things that we don't know. Okay, anybody else? Okay, thank you very much. Guntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Kijaya.
Yes, the person who shows you the path.
Okay, person shows you the path. Okay.
Yeah.